This is Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for October 31st, 2019. This is Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we speak with Anya Wright, a member of Maine Youth for Climate Justice and a youth representative on the newly formed Maine Climate Council. On November 19th, she and other youth from Mount Desert Island will be asking the Bar Harbor Town Council to declare a climate emergency, joining over 1,000 other municipalities across the country. They will also ask the council to create a climate task force.
My name's Anya Wright. I am from Falmouth, Maine, and I'm currently a college student at College of the Atlantic. And I'm a member of Maine Youth for Climate Justice, which is a organization of students from all over the state of Maine. We're about a little over 100 students. Working for climate justice in the state, and I'm also the youth representative for the Maine Climate Council.
Thanks for joining us. We want to start off by talking about this climate emergency resolution, which you and others within the movement had brought up at the climate strike that happened in mid-September. A climate emergency resolution you're bringing to the Bar Harbor Town Council, requesting them to adopt at the end of November. So if you can talk with us about this resolution, what it is, and what you hope it can do.
Absolutely. So, yeah, in September we had about 300 people in the Village Green in Bar Harbor, and there were also strikes all over the state of Maine and all over the world. About 7 million people striked for climate on September 20th. And so we had a list of 7 demands at that climate strike, and one of them was to declare a climate emergency for the town of Bar Harbor, and also for the state of Maine. And so after that strike, I got together with some other COA students and some students from MDI High School, and we've drafted this climate emergency resolution that we're going to be bringing to the town council on November 19th. And basically what that declaration does is not only declare a climate emergency sort of symbolically, but also puts into plan some actions that Bar Harbor can take in order to mobilize against climate change. And so this includes creating a climate change task force, which would help the town to adapt and mitigate to climate change. And really, we're bringing this declaration because climate change is an emergency, and it threatens present and future generations of Maine. And so we really want Bar Harbor to take a stance against climate change.
Some of these ideas are still being developed. As we said, the meeting's not till November. But can you talk more about that particular term and how it focuses energy, climate emergency, because that is actually a movement, not just here in Bar Harbor, but to sort of reframe how we look at what's going on with climate change to identify where we're at in this place and time with climate and its impacts on our planet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So as of now, there are 1,175 municipalities all over the world that have declared climate emergencies, 51 of which are in the U.S., and that includes South Portland, which just declared a climate emergency last month. And really what the climate emergency movement is doing is calling attention to that there's no time for incremental solutions and that we need to mobilize society and governments to rapidly eliminate greenhouse gas emissions and to transform the economy in the next decade in order to avoid existential climate change and threats to human civilization.
Can you talk a little bit more about your perspective as a youth, but you've been obviously concerned and paying attention to this issue for quite some time, how you think the debate around climate change and how it's been talked about generally in the public discourse hasn't been strong enough to adequately address?
Absolutely. So since climate change has sort of come to the forefront of pressing issues for our society, we really just haven't seen enough change happen and change to the scale that we need. And so part of with these youth strikes that have started to happen, so these started a little over a year ago with the Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg, who started striking from school to demand climate action by the Swedish parliament and has since started a movement of youth all over the world. And really, youth are pushing their governments to act on climate because we see it as the most pressing threat to our society today. And we see it as not just a threat to our environment, but also to our economy, to social structures. It sort of is an issue that is an umbrella issue that touches on every issue that we talk about today. And so youth are really passionate and driven and mobilized to create action and change on this.
At the climate strike here in Bar Harbor in mid-September, a number of COA students and people who had graduated college, but also those who were in high school and younger, presented in additional lists of demands. I'm not sure if those are specifically being brought to the Bar Harbor Council, but they're very well thought out and broad, and we did air those on WERU last month, but if you can talk a little bit more about those wider perspectives.
Sure, yeah, and I'm so glad that you guys were there for the climate strike and were able to cover it. And so with this climate emergency declaration, we've sort of incorporated some of our demands within the declaration. So including stuff like climate change is an intersectional issue that affects people differently. So the declaration includes a lot of our other demands. So we saw this as an opportunity to not just declare a climate emergency, but also to incorporate some other things that we're really fighting for. And so one of these things is addressing that like social injustice is intensified by climate change, and that people will be affected by climate change differently. So if you think about climate change as us all being on like a theoretical Titanic ship, so people of privilege, so people who have benefited from these very extractive practices, corporations, governments, people who have really large carbon footprints from places like Maine or developed countries. We're sort of like on the top deck and we're sipping our martinis, we're having a good time. And then meanwhile, people in marginalized communities or poor countries are trapped in the hole, and as the water is rising, they're sort of locked into that, and it's difficult for people in those communities to be able to sort of rise up to those next decks. And so when you think about the climate crisis and when we hit the iceberg, who are going to be the people that are going to be struggling most? And it's not going to be us on the top deck. It's going to be the people in the hole and the people who are already marginalized or already disempowered. And so part of our goal for this climate emergency is to create more inclusive spaces for all in decision making, and to recognize those intersections between climate change and social injustice, and to really use this as an opportunity for change within our community to create more even playing spaces. And then in part of that too is recognizing our historical responsibility for this issue. So what has Bar Harbor, Maine, or the U.S. done in the past that we can be held accountable for to the state, to the rest of the world, and that we feel that we're responsible for changing? And then our other demands include like implementing real solutions, so not using this declaration just as a symbolic act. Certainly it can be seen as that on sort of a global perspective, where we're a town joining a global movement, but we really want to use this as an opportunity for real change. And we see this as sort of like the first step towards addressing this problem is by telling the truth and risking, and we're risking our future of our own town and MDI by not doing everything in our power to restore a safe climate. So we're really calling on the town to do something about this and create real change. So I think those are some of the ways that we're incorporating our demands into the resolution.
Today we're speaking with Anya Wright, a College of the Atlantic student from Falmouth, Maine, a member of the Maine Youth for Climate Justice, and a youth representative for the Maine Climate Council. On November 19th, she and other youth from Mount Desert Island will be asking the Bar Harbor Town Council to declare a climate emergency joining over 1,000 municipalities across the country. They'll also ask the council to create a climate task force. We asked her about the previous emphasis on individual action versus systemic change.
Absolutely. And certainly there are individual changes that we can make, and there are ways that we are individually responsible. But when you look at it from a global perspective, it's really the people that are emitting the most are these giant corporations, are these giant governments as a whole that need to create real change, and who are historically responsible for this. And though it's important to create make individual changes in order to support a movement and to create change, it's also important to look at sort of these root causes of climate change and what really caused them in the first place.
And in between that is community action and community-wide action, which MDI has been an example of, at least in this region. Again, just seeing recently the MDI High School going completely solar, going to be producing more solar than they even need, solar electricity than they even need for a year's time. And it dovetails into the work of A Climate to Thrive, which is has set this goal of having MDI go, Mount Desert Island, going energy, quote-unquote, energy independent by 2030. Can you talk a little bit about the local initiatives and also how that is going to play into what you're hoping to ask the Bar Harbor Council to do?
Absolutely. And so these local initiatives are, like, absolutely crucial to creating change. This past December, I was in Poland at the UN Conference of the Parties for their climate talks. And a big lesson that I learned there is that my voice on an international scale is really hard to get heard. And it's really difficult to create change on that global scale. And something that I came away with was that in order for change to happen, we really need to focus on local communities and local initiatives. And so things like MDI High School and what A Climate to Thrive is doing are really inspiring and also absolutely critical to solving this crisis.
Can you give some more details on the types of projects and initiatives that you and others hope will be accelerated to try to really shift energy usage and hopefully impact climate change, at least here in the Mount Desert Island and community?
Sure. So part of the climate emergency resolution includes supporting the work that A Climate to Thrive is doing. And so that's making MDI energy independent by 2030. And that includes using solar and other renewable energy work, and so that's something that we really want to push for. And also, I think a lot of our facts and figures and the things that we're pushing for are absolutely rooted in science and what is scientifically necessary, and that's something that we really want to hone in and want to make clear, is that we're not trying to figure out what's politically possible. We're really trying to figure out what we need to do in order to maintain our society and have a future for youth and for all future generations, not just on MDI, but in the world.
So we will have a future program where we get A Climate to Thrive on, and hopefully more youth activists to talk about these particular initiatives, maybe following the meeting and how that might be brought to fruition. But would also like to shift quickly to talk a little bit about the work that's being laid out for the Climate Council at the state level, and you are the youth representation there. Can you talk with us about this Climate Council and some of the work that you're hoping can be accomplished at the state level?
Yes, so I was asked to be the youth representative for the Maine Climate Council this past spring. And so
that's just been established.
Yes, that was just established this past spring by the Mills administration. And so I'm the youth representative for the council itself, but there are also six working groups. There's buildings, infrastructure, and housing, which I'm a part of. There's energy, transportation, community resilience, oceans. Yeah, there's an oceans working group and working lands. And so there is a youth representative on each of those working groups, and basically how the council is structured is the working groups create recommendations to go to the council, and then the council will decide what to do with them. So it's really incredible that there's a youth on each working group, and I'm really hoping to work with all the youth and with youth from across the state in order to really push the council as much as we can.
What are the current goals of the council?
Sure. So there are a few goals for emissions level reduction. Yeah. So by January 1st, 2030, the state needs to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by at least 45% below the 1990 gross annual greenhouse gas emissions levels. And by 2040, the emissions levels must be on track to carbon so we need to have carbon neutrality by 2045. And that was just a goal set by Governor Mills in an executive order. And so by 2050, we need to have greenhouse gas emissions at least 80% below 1990 gross annual greenhouse gas emissions. And so these are really great goals. They're really aggressive compared to other states. I still feel that as the youth representative, that these goals aren't quite aggressive enough, and really we need to be on track to zero emissions by 2050 or sooner, and that's just based on what the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, says is necessary, and what the science says is necessary in order for us to have a sustainable and just future.
So your hope is to push the council further in the goals in each of these sections?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the youth are in a really great position right now where we have a lot of organization. We have youth from across the state and across the globe that are really, really mobilized and extremely, extremely passionate about this issue, and that we see that it is the most urgent issue. And so I really hope that we can have some influence and that we can make these goals happen.
Can you talk a little bit more about the youth movement here in Maine, here in this region of Maine, and how that ties in with the global youth movement?
Sure. So there have been youth strikes going on, as I said a little bit earlier, for around a year. And in Bar Harbor, we've had two strikes, one in March and one in September. And each strike has grown a little bit, and that's been sort of consistent with what's going on around the globe. And we're hoping to have another one this December as well. And that's going to be another global day of action. And in Bar Harbor specifically, we have involvement from not only College of the Atlantic and MDI High School, but also from middle school, from high schools around the state, high schools around the region. And as I was saying, each strike and action that we have more youth that are interested in organizing. We have more youth that are showing up, more youth that are really thinking about this issue critically and not just showing up to hold a sign. Nobody's doing it just to get out of classes. People are really, really getting involved in the issue and really thinking about what needs to be done.
Today we're speaking with Anya Wright, a College of the Atlantic student from Falmouth, Maine, a member of the Maine Youth for Climate Justice, and a youth representative for the Maine Climate Council. On November 19th, she and other youth from Mount Desert Island will be asking the Bar Harbor Town Council to declare a climate emergency, joining over 1,000 municipalities across the country. They'll also ask the council to create a climate task force. So Anya Wright, we just have a few minutes left, and we're definitely going to have you on the program again with other youth as well and climate activists in Maine. But we want to come back to Bar Harbor and the importance, and talk about the importance of addressing climate change here in this coastal region.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people, in response to the Climate Council and to things going on in Maine, their first reaction is sort of like, Maine is a small state, we have small communities, what's the impact, what's the importance of these small actions happening? And like I was saying before, they are absolutely critical to the broader movement and to broader sort of system change. And so for Bar Harbor to pass this, really it's just important because we know that we can't do this alone, and we're part of a global movement led by youth, calling on our elected officials to do the same. And also that as a part of this resolution, Bar Harbor doesn't have to do this alone, that we can call on the state and federal authorities to support us and to support other towns that are doing the same, and really set an example for other towns in Maine or other towns in the country to pass these same things and start a domino effect of towns creating change on the local level.
And for another program as well, as we've noted before, the passage of legislation that supports solar energy that had been vetoed under the LePage administration, there's potential for that being applied at the local level as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And so in closing, Anya, how can people find out more about the youth movement, the climate movement, and the meeting coming up the Bar Harbor Council and the work of the Climate Council at the state level if people want to plug in or find out more about the growing movement in Maine?
Sure. So if you're a youth that's looking to get involved, definitely check out Maine Youth for Climate Justice on Facebook or Instagram. It's really easy to get plugged in there to networks around the state of what's going on.
Again, can you explain who that network is?
Sure. Yeah. So Maine Youth for Climate Justice is a network of youth. We're about 100 now from all over the state who are working to demand climate action. And so we've done a lot of work with the youth strikes. Now we're doing work with the Climate Council and just local issues going on around Maine. And another place to look for events specifically happening in the Bar Harbor region is Earth and Brackets. Earth and Brackets is a climate justice organization at College of the Atlantic that I'm a part of, and we'll be posting updates about different events going on, things going on around the town council meeting on November 19th, and other events around the state. And definitely keep your eyes open for things going on around the Climate Council. Keep yourself educated. Keep yourself involved with what's going on in the state.
And when is the meeting with the Bar Harbor Town Council, and is it open to the public?
It is November 19th, and yes, it is open to the public.
And we know that you and a number of other College of the Atlantic students had intended to go down to the climate talks in Chile that has just been apparently canceled or postponed. Chile is not going to be hosting the COP25 climate talks anymore. 25 or 26? 25. Comments on that and the work of COA around that?
Yeah, so it's really too bad that the talks aren't going to be happening in Chile anymore. There's hope that the meeting will be rescheduled and moved to possibly Germany. We're not sure.
But as you had said earlier, there had been an incredible movement in civil society, the social movements that were prepared to be there.
Yeah, so even though the UN conference itself isn't going to be happening there, there are still People's Climate Action Summits happening in Chile, in Santiago. There's the People's Summit, which is a meeting of civil society organizations from around the globe. There's also going to be an Indigenous People's Summit with Indigenous communities from all over South America coming and talking about climate and how it's impacting their communities. So there are still things going on, and we're currently talking at COA whether or not we'll still go or not. Hopefully we're able to participate in some way. But really part of what's too bad about the talks not going on in Chile anymore is that it takes away the global eye from the injustices going on there. And I really hope that in the next few months that we'll be able to still highlight things going on there and be able to support Chileans in creating change in their government.
Anya Wright, thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to having you and others on the program shortly.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
We end with audio from the September 20th climate strike in Bar Harbor with Anya Wright and Lilu Gordon-Fox from the United Kingdom, also a College of the Atlantic student.
As the youth of MDI, we call on Congress, our state government, and the four local towns of MDI to recognize the emergency situation we face, declare a climate emergency, and begin mobilizing all of the resources we have to address this existential crisis. Woo! and we demand that the scope of the response meet the ecological reality we face. We must rapidly transition to a fossil-free society, decarbonize our economy by 2030, protect and restore natural ecosystems, forests, wetlands, and soils, in support of natural carbon sequestration. We must ensure a just transition for those most affected by the causes and impacts of the climate emergency. We must face this emergency together. Cities and local governments have historically been the spark for progress, from minimum wage to civil rights. Local wins inspire other communities to follow and build a mandate for the national mobilization we need. We will be taking our demands to the next town council meeting to demand that Bar Harbor declare a climate emergency and take our other demands into consideration.
This is our second demand for you all.
To recognize that the U.S. has a historic responsibility in addressing climate change. So, if we think about the atmosphere as a giant bathtub of emissions, the U.S. and other Western countries have filled it almost to the brim with greenhouse gases, while the rest of the world has hardly added a few drops. The richest countries, despite having only one-fifth of the global population, are responsible for around four-fifths of historic carbon emissions. Yet it is the nations that have not historically contributed to this bathtub of emissions that are facing the majority of climate violence now, as hurricanes, tsunamis, droughts, or wildfires are destroying homes around the world. If we assign responsibility for this violence, the U.S. carries 40% of emissions debt. The greatest injustice of the climate crisis is that those that are least responsible for it are the hardest hit. Any real solution to the climate crisis requires that the U.S. acknowledges their climate debt. We demand that the U.S. government not just take action domestically, but that they also support other countries and people as they adapt to the climate crisis. This support will require the flow of finances. The first concrete step of which would be for the U.S. government to rejoin the Paris Agreement and to step up to their initial pledge, which they made in 2014, of $3 billion to the Green Climate Fund, which is an international pool of wealth to help countries around the world adapt to climate change. Just so you know, they haven't even paid a third of this number yet, and they no longer are part of the Paris Agreement. So, of course, we can't stop here. These agreements are not enough, and the U.S. must go above and beyond these numbers. And, of course, it's not just about finance. There's people who are already feeling the direct impacts of climate change in their communities as we stand here in our own safety.
And you've been listening to Radioactive on WERU Community Radio. You can listen to archives of this and other locally produced public affairs programming at WERU.org. Listen for our coverage on the November 19th Town Council meeting in Bar Harbor and a future call-in program with students from the College of the Atlantic and Mount Desert Island High School on climate action at the local level. Thank you for listening and acting.